Welcome back, Sizzlecast, brothers and sisters, friends of food, heathens of the hungry, and everybody else in between. This is your favorite food review podcast on the internet, the Sizzlecast with John and Julie Knott. In a world where food is king, we're going to talk about the worst, the best, the all right, and the downright ugly of the food world. Julie, how you doing today?
Well, I'm really good now. That was a great intro.
I'm going to talk like this for the rest of the podcast series, and here we go. Okay. Roll the intro. Okay, Julie, lay it on them. What are we talking about today?
Well, we're not talking about anywhere in Florida this week, I'll tell you that. They're probably happy because I bet not many people could relate to that. Anyway, we're talking about Starbucks today, and I know everybody can relate to Starbucks. Did you really just do that?
Look, the returns on this episode are going to be as big as Starbucks venti drinks, so we're going to give it the Trenta energy.
The returns?
The views.
Oh, yeah, you should listen to the podcast. It's kind of good.
Yep. And listen to our other go. Just keep going. Keep talking.
All right. So what are we talking about today? We are talking about our favorite drinks at Starbucks. We have plenty of experience with this. We're both
employees of the corporation.
Yes.
It's important to note this.
So we want to, you know, address what makes working at Starbucks so great and why is Starbucks doing it so much better than any other fast food or breakfast chain? Because I think we can all agree that Starbucks is definitely on top when it comes to that. To coffee and breakfast.
Most certainly.
Oh, yeah. So what are your favorite drinks, John?
I have a number of favorite drinks at Starbucks. My first of which... Well, actually, so I found this new drink that is really fantastic, and most people don't get it. And it's a... chai latte, hot, and no water,
mm-hmm.
no milk,
mm-hmm.
with steamed apple juice,
uh-huh.
cinnamon,
ooh.
And if you want, a little bit of caramel.
Like cinnamon, like the cinnamon dolce syrup, or like cinnamon powder?
Like powder.
And then caramel drizzle? Drizzle,
if you want, yeah.
So it's like a...
very apple pie-y.
Yeah.
If you add the caramel drizzle, it's not so much apple
so
pie.
So it's like a caramel apple spice, but like with chai.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, that sounds good. I like chai.
I never had a chai tea latte that was just traditional.
You should. I really like chai. Chai's spicy, but it's good.
My problem with Starbucks is that I don't always want to try new drinks just because of the fact that they're expensive. But they do have the feature where, like, if you don't like the drink, you can get a new one for free, mm-hmm. which is sick.
Because what's your favorite, like, coffee drink?
Well, hot or cold. It's the fine.
Well, do your hot one and your cold one.
Okay. My favorite hot coffee drink, right now anyway, is a cinnamon dolce latte.
Ooh.
It used to be a caramel latte, but now it's a cinnamon dolce.
A hot one?
Hot cinnamon dolce latte.
That's really good.
That's my favorite.
I haven't had that in a while.
And then my favorite cold drink is a Starbucks double shot on ice with sweet cream, Lay's caramel drizzle, and light ice.
And classic?
And classic.
I knew it. Yeah, that's
good
stuff.
How about you, Julie?
So I'm kind of basic because I don't really like super sweet stuff. So my hot coffee pick is just dark roast coffee with like a pump or two of classic and then a little bit of sweet cream. And then my iced coffee pick is iced coffee with almond milk and again, like two pumps of classic and caramel drizzle for some flavor. And that, to me, is, like, the best thing ever because all the other drinks are just too sweet. And if I want a tea, I'll just get, like, a green tea lemonade and unsweetened.
Yo, that one of the best drinks there, in my opinion, is just a green tea unsweetened.
Yeah, but you get it with water.
Yeah.
I don't like it with water. I feel like, well, okay, so the one time I got it with water, because, like, the one time I actually ordered it and didn't make, like, a green tea myself, we were in Disney, and... Florida water kind of tastes like a swamp, so like tea mixed with swamp mixed with like sweetener was not...
That might be a gross generalization, but I also don't get mine sweetened.
Oh, you don't get it. You're like dad. Our dad doesn't get it sweetened either. But
no,
he likes
I don't like mine sweetened at all. I like mine just the green tea, the water, and the
no,
ice.
No, if you put too much sweetener in it, it tastes really weird. But like if you put like a pump of the sweetener in it, or like two pumps classic. That's I always get everything with two pumps of classic. I don't know why. Like every drink that I get, except if it's like already really sugary. Two pumps of classic.
Classic's a good all around safety net. If you just want sweetness, but you don't want necessarily like bold added flavor.
Flavor, yeah. Yeah, so I guess those are our drinks and, you know, coming from baristas. I just got to the point where I drank so much Starbucks and then I kind of had a palate change because I drank so much sweet stuff that it all just became too sweet for me and now I don't like all the sweet drinks. Like, I really don't like caramel macchiatos or lattes anymore because they're just too sweet. I hate frappuccinos.
Yeah, I don't like frappuccinos.
Oh, God. Ugh. Too gross. Much, I like matcha sugar. And I like chai. But, oh, and then also is like just dairy in general for me is not really a good thing because I get an upset stomach.
We had a conversation about this earlier today.
Yes.
I'm not going into it right now.
So let's move on. We're both baristas. I'm currently not working at a Starbucks because I am not working. Yes, it is lame because I really want to make money. But John is working at a Starbucks, and I worked at a Starbucks for about a year. And
you worked at a fake Starbucks.
I did because I worked at one in a grocery store. And we did all of the Starbucks things without any of the benefits.
It's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
I don't like that.
So originally we did get like the free drinks and whatever like on your shift. And then people, I guess, who were working there were stealing, and then they took that away from us, and then all those people got fired. I wasn't there for that. I don't really know. So, John, what makes working at a Starbucks so great for you?
Well, I think one of the... So I just did this weird thing with my hair and that headset, and it's weird, man.
Yeah, I see it.
I think one of the great things about working at Starbucks, I think it's the really progressive nature of the work environment. And what I mean by that is you're not working in a position that's or in a job that's simply come in, clock in, and go home.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a place where they expect you to, like, you know, even if you're only there for a year, 2 years, 3 years, or whatever, you can build a little mini career there for yourself and move up and get advancements and be acknowledged for your hard work and work in an environment that I would say is relatively positive 85% of the time.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I really liked working at Starbucks because, you know, you made a lot of connections with people, obviously. You know, you're making their coffee every day and making people happy and you have to, you know, you're talking to them. And I thought that was nice because I know I worked, you know, a couple other jobs previously and it was just very, like, I don't know, you just didn't really build any relationships. You didn't get to, like, be yourself and open up and kind of thrive and have a good time. It was very much just like, go fold clothes. And that was that. And so I like working at Starbucks because you make friends like your fellow baristas and then you meet people and you kind of figure out your regulars and what their drinks are. And that's fun. And you make people's day a little bit better.
Yeah. One of the things that I like about Starbucks is that they really take care of their employees quite well. I mean, just the point of view that they're paying for my college, for Pete's sake, because they have their college program that's completely
nice.
Reimbursed. And also the fact that, you know, even in this time of hardship, they've paid their employees who aren't working. And they've just they do a lot for their employees that other companies aren't doing and stuff that Starbucks doesn't by any means have to do. And that's commendable.
Mm-hmm.
Also, also talking about the fact that they have, like, the eco-friendly harvesting. They make sure that the people in other countries who work for them are receiving the fair and equal treatments and stuff like that. So they just do a lot to go above and beyond when the industry isn't requiring them to because nobody else is pushing those boundaries.
Well, and I think that's why they are doing so well as a company because they go, you know, the extra mile and they take care of their employees. So then, you know, in turn, their employees want to take care of them.
Right.
And they stay and they do their job well and then they make their customers happy. Then the customers want to spend more money. And not to mention the fact that, like, it's just really good. It tastes good. It's good stuff. So.
Well, Starbucks actually just started to get some flack because
Did they?
It was like March 12th or so, they announced that they're going to be opening a new roasting plant in China.
Oh.
And it'll be the biggest roasting plant in Asia. and it's going to fuel like the growth potential of like 6,000 stores.
Oh, wow.
Really big. And people, I think the reports and the comments I was seeing were mostly US based, were complaining that I'm not going to Starbucks anymore because they're opening up a roasting plant in China and taking away US jobs. So here's why that is an incredibly faulty mindset.
Aren't all of the like roasting plants outside of the United States?
No. One of the biggest roasteries is here in like 20 minutes away.
Oh, for real? Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. No, they have roasting plants.
Road trip.
They have roasting plants all over the place. And here's what has to be understood about Starbucks. Yes, it started in Seattle. Yes, it started as a very low-key couple location stores. All right, they didn't even serve espresso before Howard Schultz took over.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the company started as an American company, but to say that Starbucks today is only nothing more than an American company, I think is a so faulty false. Understatement. I understand they're traded on the American stock market and they are an American based company and all of that.
But they're in like so many countries. Well, around the world.
Exactly what I'm saying. Starbucks has so many locations across the planet.
And if you look at, like, if you compare, like, our drink menus, like, the drink menus in the U.S. to, like, drink menus in other countries, like, they're completely different. Like, right. It's almost like its own entity.
Everything is tailored.
Yeah.
And so, to say that...
Which is cool.
The reason that... The saying that that plant in China is going to take U.S. jobs away, it's so narrow-sighted because the roast and the beans that are processed in China are never going to make it to the United States.
Yeah.
They're for stores in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And because they don't have a roasting plant over there. So they're getting all their beans shipped in from farther locations, which affects quality.
Yeah.
So if they want to expand into the Asian marketplace, they need to set up the infrastructure in Asia to process and produce fresh coffee. Mm-hmm. So it's not taking away American jobs.
No, because it's not even for America in the first place.
Right. It's not nothing. None of that. I mean, I can't say none of that. I don't know that for sure. But like the majority of what is produced there is not coming to America,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I just feel upset sometimes for Starbucks because they've gone through a lot of stuff. Like before, you know, I think it was 1986 that Howard Schultz took over, and then, or it was 1971. Let me rephrase. 1971, Howard Schultz, 1971, the company was founded mm-hmm. by its three founders. Howard Schultz was not one of the founders. Howard Schultz bought the company, I believe it was 1986. And then the company went public as a corporation in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and then they did fine. They had a pretty good rise from 1991 until about 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And then September 11 hurt them pretty bad. And then 2001 to 2003, they did relatively well. And then it kind of just grew up through 2015 where they had a hard hit. And then come 2018 until just recent economic crash, they were doing great.
Yeah.
In 2008, Starbucks closed their doors because they had gotten away from the initial brand image. And they had to redefine everything that it was to be Starbucks.
Oh, wait. No way. Really?
Yeah. All the stores in the country closed down.
That's cool.
So what I'm saying is Starbucks has done a lot over the years to maintain this trailblazer-esque standard of leadership in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see them getting flack for opening and providing jobs to thousands of people throughout the globe, I just kind of think it's narrow-sighted.
Well, I think that's a little bit, like, almost greedy and entitled of, like, American people to be like, oh, you're taking away U.S. jobs.
Right, and I understand...
It's not even, like, it's not about that anymore. It's on a larger scale.
Right, and I understand that why we think that way, because a lot of companies do produce in China.
And so they're probably just thinking it's coming back to...
Right, and then they sell it in the United States.
Right.
Right. That's not what's happening here. They're opening a plant there to supply Central Asia. You know mm-hmm, what I mean? Mm-hmm. With and so it's a different story. Yeah. And I don't think they deserve the negative flack that they're receiving for it.
No, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. There's one thing I feel like we should address, and this is kind of a change of subject. And, you know, most people or people who are pretty heavy coffee and espresso drinkers would probably know that the way that Starbucks drinks are made is not traditional, is untraditional, and is not the way that, like, most, like, those normal, like, lattes and macchiatos are, like, actually made. So, like, for example, like, a macchiato normally is, like, espresso with, like, a dollop of, like, steamed milk. Well, but when we make it at Starbucks, it's the milk foam, steamed milk, and then a lot of that, and then shots on top, and then syrup and whatever, but that's nuts, beside the point. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, first of all, we have to step back, because technically that's not correct. The only drink at Starbucks that is made that way is the caramel macchiato. And if somebody comes in and says, I want a cinnamon dolce macchiato, we assume that it's the caramel macchiato and just sub out all of the parts that make it the caramel macchiato, and we replace it with the cinnamon dolce parts. If you come in and you order a macchiato, it's the shot with the dollop of steamed milk.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's actually like the correct version of what a macchiato is actually on the menu.
So then why don't they advertise that more?
Well, I just think it's because it's the same. Like there's so many different drinks. There's, you know, a Campana, which is espresso and whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
And like the latte, the cappuccino, the macchiato.
Even if you think about it, like the lattes and cappuccinos are made in the correct way.
How so?
Because a latte is supposed to have like shots on top. And then you have the milk foam. And then cappuccino is supposed to be equal parts steamed milk, milk foam, and shots.
Mm-hmm.
If I saw a thing online like years ago, and I mean, that's probably only half correct, but
I think the
to
way
to an extent the drinks aren't, they're kind of Americanized, which isn't a bad thing, but I just want your opinion on that.
Well, I don't think, my opinion is, I don't think they're quite as Americanized as what it may seem. I think they're pretty traditional. And the only really like, and there's a couple of drinks that we make that are slightly more catered to Starbucks, like Starbucks made those drinks popular.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Frappuccinos and stuff like that, and all the specialty drinks that we come up with. But generally speaking, you know, the standard standard beverages, espresso beverages, I mean, Starbucks has kind of come on to define what those are, because there's a lot of people who didn't exist in a place where like big, like those types of coffee shops were a big thing, because espresso coffee shops weren't big in America before Starbucks came through.
Yeah, no, that so was like a European thing.
Right. So they really kind of defined what those drinks were for Western mm-hmm. culture.
So it's not even so much that they deviated from the quote-unquote original recipe. They just kind of redefined it almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even redefined it. They just defined it.
Defined it for
It's basically this. It's a difference between our soccer and English football.
Sure.
It's the same thing. Yeah. It's just our version of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, which is great. And I think the way that Starbucks makes their drinks and their coffee makes it more, you know, accessible to the average everyday human being. Because if you think about some of those, the ways that like Europeans make that kind of the espresso coffee like that, that's very much sit and drink it. But when you think about how Starbucks makes their drinks, it's, you know, you could, obviously it's in like to-go cups and you could take it to-go and it's more easily drinkable throughout the day, whereas some of the other stuff is like you gotta sit there, you gotta stay there and drink it, and then you can go about, and for some people that's what they rather do, but some people are like, I have to get my coffee and go to work.
Well, interestingly enough, having talked to some people that have been to Europe, the coffee scene is very different over there. A lot of it is what you say, it's not really to-go cups, it's just, it's mostly that. But the thing about European coffee,
they don't like sit and sip, right? Drink it.
I know it's a big thing in France from what I've heard. You get your shot of espresso, you shoot it like a shot, and then you put the cup down, you leave.
Mm-hmm.
We have a guy that comes in really early in the mornings. That's what he does. He gets a green tea that's to go. Mm-hmm. And then he gets a double shot of espresso and he sips it right back and that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the thing that you talk about making it more accessible, and that's where you're right, because the coffee that is known in, I feel like, in Europe is far more like espresso, water, and a little bit of milk.
Mm-hmm.
It's the espresso is mostly the main drink,
and it's not so much of like a, you can go and get this every day and then just kind of like be, I mean, you can like be about your life, but like the way that Starbucks has made their drinks and has made their whole system is that you really don't even need to stop to get it. Like, it's, you know, you could just go through the drive-thru and pick it up, mobile order, pick it up, and then you take it, you go to work, and you drink it how you want to.
Yeah, Starbucks has definitely adapted to a fast-paced first world.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I think what Starbucks is trying to capture the feeling of, you know, the single guy in a cafe working from Italy that knows everybody that walks in the door. And the same people come in every day at the same time and get the same thing. That's what Starbucks is trying to recreate. I think they do a fairly, really decent job for what they can do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always kind of the idea of perfection to shoot for. I don't think that'll ever truly be the case to being as authentic as it would be to going to one of those unique coffee shops in Italy. Mm-hmm. But I do think that they've gotten as close as you can to a incredibly intimate experience in our world.
And do you think that's why they're kind of beating everybody else in the whole fast food-ish game?
Here's the reason that I think that Starbucks is beating everybody else. I think it can come down to some of those things. But I think it's more so from the business perspective is that they were the first people to do this. So that they were able to tap into an untapped market before anybody else did.
Mm-hmm.
So they just got up this huge leverageable advantage that ultimately just allowed them to scale up so quickly. So now it's like, yeah, you have these other coffee shops that are doing just as well. They're being just as interactive. But the issue with them is that they'll just never build up the capital to open up anywhere near as many stores as Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. And to run the corporation and the businesses like a Starbucks.
Right, exactly. But at the same time, though, you know, they don't necessarily need to have 6,000 plus stores to be competitive.
Right.
All they have to worry about is competing with the one store that's in their area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you made it very well. What Starbucks has done is they've made it accessible and easily accessible to everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, so is places like Dunkin' Donuts, too. But I feel like, you know, Starbucks is beating out them. I think it's because the coffee is better. But
well, very interesting report researching their stock. The big thing about Starbucks right now, what people who are considered bears to the Starbucks company who don't like it per se, the issue they have with Starbucks is the fact that there's nothing keeping their customers from just switching immediately over to Dunkin' or Tim Hortons or Rutter's or anything else. Because the coffee is not that much different. I think Starbucks coffee is better, that's a preferential thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of places, like there's a lot of other coffee chains that are cheaper than Starbucks. So there's no barrier from a customer saying, I'm now just going to go to Dunkin'. So that's dangerous, is that Starbucks, you know, is at a, they always have to be competing with those brands. So that's why I think it pays, like you said, for them to stay ahead.
Yeah. Because well, and like, watch, like they're always coming out with new drinks.
Well, that's the reason they have to. They have to do something to retain. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But, like, Dunkin' doesn't really do that. They come out with, like, new flavors.
Yeah.
And they're usually kind of the same ones that they circle around. But Starbucks, like they have those new, like, matcha drinks,
mm-hmm.
you know, and those are new. And then there's, like, the salted honey or whatever, and that's new.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really, other than, like, the fall and Christmas drinks, they don't really bring the same flavors around, unless people like pumpkin spice, like they, you know, really want it.
Well, here's my the thing that I think Starbucks has going for it, and it's something I think they can capitalize on or completely miss, depending on how they run it.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at like companies like Dunkin' Donuts, Tim Hortons, McDonald's, other competing coffee companies. Okay, Dunkin' Donut Shop, Tim Hortons Donut Shop, McDonald's fast food restaurant. So none of them at the core of their being are coffee shops. They are other fast food businesses that serve coffee.
Yeah.
What Starbucks could do, and this is something they got away from in 2008, and I think it's something that they could possibly still get away from in the future, and they shouldn't. What Starbucks could do is, Starbucks is a coffee shop. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And they need to maintain that coffee is the core center product. Not the sweet treats, you know, not the bakery items, not the sandwiches. Those are fine additional items. But Starbucks, I think if Starbucks wants to continue to beat all these other brands, is they need to be a sole coffee shop, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that they...
I think they do a very good job
of that right now, and I think they'll also probably, for the most part, stay that way, because think about their clientele. That's all that they want.
Nobody's like,
I want Starbucks to sell burgers and lunch food. Everybody's like, no, I just want my coffee.
I hope so. I think the food in Starbucks is really starting to become a much bigger item. And I just hope that over the next, let's say, 5 years, it doesn't start to eclipse what they are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's possible, because what happens is companies want profit, And if food all of a sudden becomes profitable, okay, so you make profit in the short run, but then you're no different than competing with McDonald's or Dunkin'. Yeah. You're a coffee shop, and that's awesome. And I think they need to just keep leveraging that. Mm-hmm. And I think they're in a good place to continue to do that.
I don't really feel like, as of right now, that food is going to overcome the coffee. I think it's just like, oh, this is great. I can get my morning coffee and a breakfast sandwich here, too. And I think that they're probably also aware of that. You know, that's what people, like, that's the logic that, you know, the mindset people are thinking of when they order food or they order, like, a pastry. Because I don't think ever anybody's going to just go to Starbucks to get, I mean, maybe you do, but, like, go to Starbucks to get a breakfast sandwich. And, like, I don't think that's going to become, well, like, the bigger
working
thing.
There full time, it happens more than you think.
I work there full time, too, but.
Right. But currently, anyway.
Right.
And I guess just something that worries me is that the introduction of several new food items in very close succession, you never know. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I know that there's a lot of really smart people on that job who are doing a good job to manage the brand and the image. And it really just, they're smart. They can figure it out. And I have courage that they'll make the right decisions.
Oh, they absolutely will. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm proud of them. I think they've done so much.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think they had the potential to do a heck of a lot more. I don't think we've seen Starbucks peak yet. A lot of people say that Starbucks is out of its golden days, just on the reference of like the numbers of the business, like financial numbers. Maybe, you know, I don't know how much more Starbucks is going to grow.
But I think that they're going to stay at this place for a while, and they're still at a really high
place. I think we can see Starbucks maintain steady growth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Over mm-hmm. the next 5, 10, 15 years, if because they continue to play the cards right.
Right, because it's marketable and because it's, I mean, trendy. People want Starbucks. And not just like, oh, I want coffee. It's I want Starbucks coffee.
Exactly. I want Starbucks coffee.
Because it's, you know, it's the difference between, like, buying sneakers at, like, Walmart and buying Nike sneakers.
Right.
You want the brand. You want the name.
Right.
And I think that's kind of part of the reason that Starbucks is doing so well and they're you know, in the forefront, because you want the name of the coffee. That's kind of part of it. Is you want the cup, you want the green mermaid lady. You want to say, oh, I got Starbucks. You want to, you know, walk up with all your friends with like your venti refresher in your hand. I don't know. But yeah, I think that's a big part of it.
I don't think the correct, and you didn't say this, but I don't think the correct terminology for Starbucks is affordable luxury.
No.
That's what people say. I don't think it's that. And now, Howard Schultz had an exact thing that he described it as. I forget what he said, but I think it's more so like, you know, an elevated convenience or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't think it's quite as low as what I think the affordable luxury brands generally get marked as. You know what I mean?
It's almost like a communal thing, too.
Yeah, there's a big sense of community. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. It's like, I want Starbucks because I want the Starbucks experience.
What Starbucks did is they took a very basic product and they built a huge company around a very basic thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they gone beyond just saying, we're not just serving coffee, we're serving people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And however you want to, all the different little catchphrases they have. They've gone above and beyond, and if they continue to go above and beyond, their results are going to be continue to be above and beyond everybody else. And I think they deserve it, because I think they're working really hard to be an industry leader. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and being someone who worked at a Starbucks and then left a Starbucks, like, I cannot go work anywhere else, because that was, like, the best job I had. And I mean, I left because I just ran out of time, because I was, you know, right, senior year absolutely. Of high school. So I was like, I can't manage a job and then everything that I do in school. But like, ever since I left back in October, I, you know, really miss working at Starbucks. And, you know, I worked in a grocery store. And so there was kind of some, it wasn't the full experience, because I wasn't, you know, an employee of Starbucks. I was employee of the grocery store. Then they just happened to have like a Starbucks in it. And that's where I like that was my department. But just even that was like one of my favorite experiences, and I made really good friends just by working there, you know, whether it was customers that came in or my fellow baristas. And there's a different energy when you work at a Starbucks compared 100%. To working anywhere else, because we've both worked
previously. I didn't think that what was possible in a part-time job was possible until I went to Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't feel like you're working. Like, I remember, like, during the summer, I would genuinely look forward to going to work. Because I didn't, like, look at it as work. I looked at it as, you know, just time to kind of hang out with people. And now I get to, you know, make coffee while I do it. And not that I didn't take my job seriously, but that's honestly what it felt like.
Absolutely. Like, that's the way it should feel. And that's what's good about it.
You're going to see your people.
Yeah. Both customer and partner.
And yes. Yeah. And that's like a big thing is like you see like, you know, your customers that you build a relationship come in and then you get really excited and then they stay for like a good while and you talk to them. And that's a great experience. And then, you know, whoever you're working with, you build a bond with and you get to hang out with. And that's fun too. And then like, you know, we would hang out outside of work too every now and again. Like,
and that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. When you actually make friends with the people that you work with because you can all connect through your job.
Yeah.
That's really
cool. It's fantastic.
And Starbucks really cultivates that. And I think that they want you to do that and they promote that. You know, that you have those strong relationships with your coworkers because overall that just makes the customer's experience better. And it makes it a better environment and a better energy in the store. So it's just, you know, it's more positives for the company as a whole.
Right. Well, hey, I hate to cut this conversation short, but I got to get out of here.
All right.
So,
well, hey, I thought it was
good. I mean, it's true.
It is true.
They're such a good company and they don't deserve some of the bad flack that they've gotten. That's my final word.
No, I agree with you there. Plus good coffee.
It's best coffee.
Best coffee. Yeah.
Starbucks, we love you. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Listeners, love you maybe a little bit more. Don't tell anybody, but thank you for listening. Thank you for giving us all you have and your time. We appreciate it. It's the most valuable thing you got.
Hope you're enjoying the podcast. They're going to keep coming. We're enjoying making them. This has been really fun. So we hope that you are listening. And if you are enjoying listening, maybe, hey, tell your friends.
Oh, please. Yeah. Tell your friends. Give us a share. Give us a like. Subscribe. Do all the things you got to do. Two leaks. LEEKS. And that's that.
Yeah, I think so.
Joey, that was a good one.
Good job today. That was a good one, John. Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.